comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, it was Billy Graham who once said, "Comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has." So, how do you deal with the adversity of your hurt feelings? Do you ignore them? Do you deny them? Or do you try to minimize them? In just a moment, Kenneth welcomes back guest speaker Dr. Harry Tan, who shares 5 wrong ways to handle hurt and 3 good ways of dealing with it, in a program he calls God's Answers to Life Challenges.
Thank you very much, McDaniel. And what a great joy and pleasure it is for me to welcome Dr. Harry Tan to the Times of Refreshing program and to introduce him to our listeners. Harry was saved as a student in a university in New Zealand in 1973. He was called by the Lord to serve as an elder at Bethesda Hall since 1986. He and his family are now in happy fellowship at Bethesda Hall in Depot Walk. He has taught in the National University of Singapore as a member of the civil engineering faculty since 1980. I've known Harry for many years as an able and systematic expositor of the scriptures, which I'm sure all our listeners will also benefit tremendously from listening.
Today, we are concluding our series from Psalm 23 on God's answers to life problems. We'll be looking at how to handle hurts in verse 5 and facing the future in verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because we live in a fallen world, we get hurt. We get hurt physically by accidents and disease. We get hurt emotionally by other people. Relationships can bring the greatest joy in our lives, but at the same time, they can bring the greatest pain. People hurt us sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes accidentally, and sometimes on purpose. How do you handle your hurts? Many times, we handle hurts in the wrong manner. I want to talk about 5 wrong ways to handle hurts and then share with you about 3 right ways to handle them. 5 wrong ways to handle hurt. Firstly, we can ignore it. Ignoring your hurt never heals it. You have heard it said, time heals all wounds. But sometimes, time makes the infection grow worse. Denying it, delaying it, minimizing it turns minor problems into major ones. Wounds get infected and spread when they aren't dealt with. Look at what Psalm 39 says about trying to ignore hurt. "I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up." Ignoring our hurt does not work. It makes it worse. Secondly, we can run from it. This is what Mr. Chicken approach to dealing with hurt is like. Escape. Retreat. Run as fast as you can. This is human nature. When we feel pain, we run. Psalms 55 says, "If only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and find rest. How far away I would flee. I would stay in the wilderness. I would hurry to my shelter from the raging wind and storm." When people hurt, they run. People run to television, movies, drugs, shopping, divorce, alcohol, sex, food, wherever we can find relief. But when we return, the problem is still there. Running doesn't solve problems. Thirdly, we can hide it. Many of us are good at doing this. We wear a mask. We don't tell anyone we are hurt. We are quite good at camouflaging our pain. When someone asks if we are okay, we say that everything is fine. We don't like to admit that someone has hurt us. If we admit that we are hurt, we open ourselves to more hurt, so we hide it. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. The Bible says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed." Fourthly, we may worry over it. Sometimes we hover over our hurt like a mother hen hovers over her chicks. Worry is an attempt to control the uncontrollable. There are things in your life that you cannot change. You're not God, so why try to be? Worry is playing the pain over and over again in your life. Here is what God's Word tells us to set our minds on. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Worry never solves problems. It never heals hurts. The more you worry about it, the bigger it seems to get. Fifthly, we may become bitter about it. Bitterness never makes you better. Yet sometimes, when people hurt us, we become bitter. We get angry and clothe ourselves in self-pity. But bitterness hurts you more than it hurts the person you are bitter against. Bitterness is self-destructive behavior. Bitterness is a poison that will kill you. James tells us, man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Anger and bitterness never heal hurt. But you ask, what does heal my hurt? Look at Psalm 23 verse 5 again. There are three right ways to deal with hurts. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Circle the word you. You is found in this verse two times. Each time you is there with a specific plan. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You is the Lord Himself. He is the one who can heal your hurt. So the first thing you need to do is let Jesus protect you. Sheep have many enemies. Wolves, bears, ticks, snakes. Sheep are very defenseless animals. They don't run fast. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have claws. But they need protection. And only the shepherd can provide that. The job of the shepherd is to lead, feed, and oversee. Part of overseeing the sheep is to protect them. God says, "Let me handle those who have hurt you. Let me set things straight. Let me take care of your enemies. Let me set a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies." Part of having faith in God is trusting that He will protect you even from your enemies. The more you try to get revenge and settle scores, the more you are not trusting God. Secondly, let Jesus heal you. There are two reasons that shepherds put oil on the heads of sheep. First, to soothe. Second, to heal. One of the worst enemies of sheep are flies. Have you ever been irritated by biting flies? Sheep get irritated too. The flies will bite the sheep so much that they will start bleeding. And the bleeding just attracts more flies. Isn't it amazing how little things can cause so much irritation? What the shepherd does is he takes olive oil and mixes in a little sulfur and puts the mixture on the head of the sheep as an insect repellent. This helps keep the flies away. The other way that oil is used is as an anointment. When a sheep has an open wound, the shepherd puts oil on it to help the healing process and take away some of the pain. The psalmist talks about how God heals our hurts. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 147 verse 3. That is what the good shepherd does for us. Sometimes he heals us by sending people to help us. That is called fellowship. Sometimes he heals us by making his presence known in our lives. That is called worship. Sometimes the healing takes place right away, and sometimes it takes longer. But God always heals if we trust him. He heals the brokenhearted. It's a promise you can depend on. And even when we have been totally healed, there are scars. There always are scars after you have been hurt. You have a choice. When you look at those scars, you can either look at the scars and remember the hurt, or you can look at the scars and remember the healing. That's your choice. You can either focus on the hurt or focus on the healer. Reminding ourselves that God cares for us brings comfort. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The third thing you can do is let Jesus bless you. In the Bible, an overflowing cup is a symbol for total satisfaction. It represents all that you need. I am totally taken care of. I am totally blessed. Let me ask you, how does Jesus bless you? Are you living an overflowing life? Are you living in God's abundance? Are you living in God's victory? Let me tell you, if you have Jesus in your heart, you can say, my cup runs over. There are three things that my cup runs over with. My cup runs over with hope. The Bible says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you abound in hope? We sing about it, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My cup runs over with love. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians. May the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. My cup runs over with love. We sang this song as children. Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God loves you? He loves you so much that he would die for you. In fact, he did die for you on the cross some 2,000 years ago. Thirdly, my cup runs over with joy. John tells us, ask in my name according to my will, and he'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. Have you ever been to someone's home for a visit and wondered when you should leave? In the Middle East, they have a custom. The host will continue to fill the cup of the guests as long as they are welcome. When it gets late, the host will stop filling the cup. That is the sign that it's time to go. Well, God never stops filling your cup. You're always welcome in his house. He says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'll anoint your head with oil, and your cup will always be overflowing. Overflowing with hope, with love, joy, and peace. The next problem is facing the future. A lot of people spend their lives worrying about tomorrow. Will I have enough money for retirement? Will my health be good enough to enjoy my later years? Will I get this new job? Will I find the perfect man or woman? They are so wrapped up with tomorrow that they never enjoy today because they fear of what the future may bring. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In this psalm, there is no fear of the future. There is no anxiety, no worry about tomorrow. The author has confidence. The author has hope. You too can be free from anxiety, fear, and worry. You too can live in confidence. Why? Let me give you three good reasons. Firstly, God is watching over you. When we have a personal relationship with God, we have a God who is concerned about us. He wants the best for us. He loves us. These are facts you can find throughout the Bible. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The good shepherd takes care of his own sheep." All things don't work together for good for all the people in the world. That's not what this verse says. What it does say is that God watches out for His own. If you are a believer, the Bible says that all things are working for your good. Not everything is good, but God is able to cause all things to work for your good. Bad things happen to believers just as much as they happen to non-believers. But God is able to make good come out of it. Secondly, God is working in you. When you become a Christian, God Himself comes to live with you. He comes to live inside you. That is, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and lives inside you. Romans 8 verse 8 and 9 says, "Those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." One of the clear signs of being a Christian is that the Holy Spirit has come to live with you. That's how it is when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. He's there so you can get to know God better. He's there to influence your life. Do you know how He influences your life? With goodness and mercy. Let's just take a minute to talk about shepherding. Did you know that there is a difference between a rancher and a shepherd? A rancher drives cattle. A shepherd leads the sheep. Rancher drives the cattle from behind. The shepherd leads the sheep from the front. If you were in the Middle East, you would see shepherds out on the hills leading their sheep. You would see also sheepdog coming up behind the sheep, helping to keep them in the flock. Goodness and mercy are like those sheepdogs. They follow behind us, keeping us in line, keeping the sheep safe so they don't get lost. We dwell with the shepherd. Actually, he dwells in us. And goodness and mercy, like faithful sheepdogs, are there to help us from straying. Thirdly, God has prepared a place for you and waits for you. If you are a Christian, three things have changed in your life. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a purpose for living. And you have a home in heaven. This is one of the most important connections we see in the Bible. It connects the present with the future. It connects today with tomorrow. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, we read, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I want you to circle two words. The first is tent, and the second is building. Paul is talking about the physical body. That which we dwell in now is a tent. What is a tent? It is a temporary structure. It is designed to be lived in for a short period of time. A tent was designed as a temporary shelter. But a building is not. A building is permanent. Paul is saying that we have right now a temporary shelter, our earthly body. But God has a permanent home for us, our future spiritual body. It will be a home not made with human hands. It will be an eternal home in heaven. We are going to be released from pain, from sorrow, from suffering, from depression, from fear. The Bible says, He will wipe away our tears. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. Isn't that good news? This earthly body will be replaced with a heavenly body. This earthly tent will be replaced with a heavenly home. Do you know for sure that you will live forever in heaven? Right now, at this moment, you can know for sure. And here's what you need to do. Admit to God that you are a sinner. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and forgives us and cleanses us from every wrong. Next, believe that Jesus died for your sins. If you confess that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Thirdly, accept God's gift of salvation. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And finally, invite Jesus to come into your life and be Lord to take control of your life. To all who receive Him, He gives the right to become children of God. All we need to do is to trust Him to save us. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth, but a spiritual birth from the will of God.
The psalmist said, "You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me." Thank you, Dr. Harry Tan. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And join us again tomorrow when Kenneth presents the first of a two-part series called Hundredfold. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.